Good morning, everybody.
I thought you wanted to talk about something last week, if I remember. Who wanted something to talk about? Okay. if you remember, tell me. Okay. Parashat Vayishlach. Parashat Vayishlach. We again meeting Yaakov Avinu. And this time, you see, when we talk about Yaakov Avinu, he is involved with angels all the time. He dreams of on angels. He even fights an angel in our parsha. He sends angels, and angels hit him when he comes back. Like, this is unbelievable, this guy. What is the idea? The Shlach HaKadosh, by the way, says that our parsha has got a double meaning, because there are a lot of double things in our parsha. And he says that it's like when we talk, and Yaakov sent angels, Parashat Vayishlach. Yaakov sent angels. Did he really send angels or messengers that are called angels? Because, first of all, sending an angel is not so simple. Even today,
we don't know angels.
And yes, now even today, angel is something holy. Today, a Kohen, you're not allowed to send him to buy grocery for you in the shop. You're not allowed to send him on a mission that to bring you something. You know, even today.
Why?
Because a Kohen is Mesharet Kodesh. He is holy. He's got a holiness. That's why the Kohen gets up the first one on the Kriyat HaTorah. That's when you have when you're blessing. A Levi is a different story, because a Levi has a different work. But a Kohen, because he's so high at the level of holiness, that you're not allowed to use him, because he is a Kli Sharet. He serves God. So you take somebody who his job is to do the holiest work in the temple, and you use him for your own purposes. Of course, that it's not extreme, as I say, because if a Kohen works for somebody, he has to do the job. He cannot say, okay, I'm a Kohen, you're going to give me a salary, I'm not going to do nothing. So if it's a job, of course he has to do it. But for example, when we just ask a Kohen, bring me please a glass of water. Not so simple. It's not so simple. People don't realize it. It's shogeg, okay, but the idea is that a Kohen is holy, and because of this, you cannot just use him for doing...
You're assuming that he is what he should be.
Yes, but you see, it's like the same as a rabbi and the same thing, but here, God said that the Kohen is God is holy. Now, if he is not holy, I don't want to go into his shoes, because he has got a lot of problems with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But we, from our side, the same way as we honor a Kohen, if we have a Kohen when we have to do Birkat Hamazon, and there is a Kohen, we have to ask his permission. Birshut HaKohen. And there is more, Birshut HaKohanim. And a Kohen is always first. But what I'm trying to say is, here we're talking about Yaakov sending angels. So if a human being, which is a Kohen, you're not allowed to use to be a messenger, how is it possible that Yaakov is using angels to be messengers? So one of the explanations is, it's not real angels, it's messengers that you call angels. The Shlach HaKadosh says that there is a double meaning. Here, he really sends human being messengers, but up in heaven, there are angels that are going to do their job, because the world here and the world up there, they are connected. Whatever we do here has got an influence on what's happening up there. And that's, as we said, if you remember at the dream of the ladder, that the angels are being created by us, going up and coming down with all the good. So in other words, whatever we do, it's got an influence not only here, also there. But I'm not going to go into this explanation. It's complicated. But if you go to the parsha, you will see a lot of double meanings. For example, when we talk here, Kotomrun le'adoni le'esav. This is what you're going to say to my master, my lord, Esav. That's not what's written. Le'adoni Esav would be to my lord Esav. But he says, le'adoni le'esav. To my lord, to Esav. Like, it looks like he's talking to two people. There is a lamed that makes the difference. And if we go on, they say the angels, Banu el achicha el Esav. Again, we came to your brother, to Esav. You should say to your brother, Esav. What is el achicha el Esav? Again, double meaning. So, this is a very interesting thing that goes through the whole parsha. You will see it all over the parsha. But I want to talk about when Am Yisrael, our leaders, had to deal with the goyim. They used, I'm talking about the spiritual leaders at their old times, they used to learn those parshas. How to deal with the goyim. Because if we look at our parsha, we see how Yaakov is dealing with Esav. He doesn't know how to be. For example, the angels come back and they tell him, Esav, your brother, comes to you. So he doesn't know, is he my brother or is he Esav? Our brother is like he loves me. Esav is Esav of Russia. Now, what am I going to do? If I'm going to meet him with arms, with soldiers, this is definitely going to be a war. But maybe he comes in peace. So what do I do? How do I behave? So what is Yaakov doing? He's taking his whole camp and divide it to two. The first part comes with flowers and no arms, no weapons. This is peace. Now, okay, this is very nice. But if Esav comes to war, what do you do then? So the second half is waiting behind with weapons ready to fight. So when they approach Esav, they will see that he comes in peace. So he sees that also Yaakov comes in peace. And automatically, the other camp is taking away the weapons. And everything is beautiful and nice. But if Esav comes to fight, and Yaakov sees that he comes to fight with weapons, so the half that is in front goes back, and the back, the other half on the back with the weapons comes out, and they fight. This is a way, a very diplomatic way, how to deal with a situation. But it doesn't end here. Now, he knows Esav, and he knows that Esav wants to kill him. But maybe things change through the years. So what does he do in order to come to Esav in a good way? He sends him presents. He sends him a lot of presents. If you look what he's sending him, so he's sending him a fortune. Izimataim, 200 goats, 200 and Tiashim 20, and Rechelimataim, Eilim 20, Gmalim, camels, and cows, and what? And now what is he doing? He's not sending him with one go. Also a very interesting lesson to learn. What do I mean? When you give a present to somebody, a big present, so you give it in one go, he says, wow, what a nice present. But if you're clever and you want your present to look bigger than what it is, what do?
Le'at, le'at.
Le'at, le'at. You give him, first of all, wow, here a present for you. Wow, nice. Here another present. Oh. Wow! And another present, and another present. What is Yaakov doing? He is dividing the presents to parts. And not only this, he is putting a gap between every part. In other words, he says, the first part is going, now there is a gap, let's say, for 5 minutes. Then the second one. The second one is going, then there's another gap of 5 minutes. So what Esav is seeing is, it's going on and on and on. It makes the present look much bigger than we use. It's like we, sometimes, you know, people give money on, they come to a function, to a bar mitzvah, to a wedding. Some give money and some give a present. The clever one, they try to bring a present that looks much more than what it really is. Because when you give money, you know exactly what you gave. You gave 100 shekels, it's 100 shekels. 200 shekels, 200. The chokhmah is, bring a present that costs 100 shekel that looks like 1,000 shekel. People do it. And it's a clever way of like putting something much more than what it is. And of course, the one who gets it is much happier to get something that looks wow than to looks. It's like, that's why people take off the price tag you buy something on an offer and give it as a present, you don't want him to see that what cost 500 shekel costs now 100 shekel. Sometimes people leave there. What do they leave? They leave the label before the discount. So, wow, what a big present he gave me. They don't realize he paid less. Now, all those things we can learn from what we're reading in the Parsha. And it's unbelievable. Then it's also, he is preparing himself from the spiritual way. He is praying to God, asking him to help him. Atzileini na miyad achi miyad esav. And then he is preparing a present. And then he is also prepared for war. So, and this is the way you should do things. Now, the interesting thing is saying, it's a very interesting point. It says, Atzileini niya, save me, miyad achi miyad esav. Again, we see a double meaning. Save me from my brother, from Esav. Now, we all know he's got one brother, which is called Esav. So first of all, you can say, save me from my brother, and we all know we're talking about Esav. Okay, maybe you said, you know, the Torah wants to say that you can say, Achi Esav, my brother Esav. But the Torah is not saying this. The Torah is saying, Atzileini na miyad achi, from my brother, and from Esav. Like it looks like there are two people involved. Because otherwise it should be written, Atzileini na miyad achi Esav. Save me for my brother Esav. But that's not written. It's written, save me for my brother from Esav. Again, from what, why do you need a double meaning? The thing is, Yaakov, as we say, he doesn't know who he's going to meet. Is he going to meet his brother? Which means loving, hugging, a brother. Or is he going to meet Esav of Russia? So he is asking God for help. Save me. So one minute. We understand that he's asking God to save him from Esav. But why does he ask God to be saved from his brother? What? If your brother comes in love and he wants to be your friend and kisses you and hugs you, this is a good thing or a bad thing? I'm saying, so why is he asking? No, what I'm asking is, why is he asking to be saved from the brother?
Because he's not sure.
Yeah, no. So he's saying two things. That's what I'm saying. He's saying, save me from my brother and save me from Esav. In other words, I would understand if he would say, Atzileini miyad achi Esav. Okay, no problem. Save me from my brother Esav. In other words, we know Esav is a Russia. Save me from this Russia brother. But that's not what he's asking. He's asking, save me from my brother, one thing, and then again from Esav. In other words, he divides it to two. So he is asking to be saved from Esav as a Russia, and also from Esav as a brother. And the question is, why does he ask God to be saved from Esav as his brother?
Because they had problems.
Everything you say is right, but the question is, that's all what we say, it's the side of Esav. What is the problem with the side of brotherhood? Let's put it more clear. Brother means love, together, family, and Esav means hate and war. So if we're talking about Esav, we understand that he wants to be saved. If we're talking about family and love and brotherhood, do you want to be saved from this?
No.
He is asking to be saved. Why? That's the question.
Because of the bad influence on his family?
Different nature.
Exactly. We see, unfortunately, we can look at especially in the States. Today in America, there are more than 60% intermarriage. In other words, we lose 60% of our people. This is Achi Esav. This is Achi. This is brotherhood. When Esav wants to be your brother, run away. Why? Because he's got bad influence. What do you think he's going to do with Yaakov? Are they going to sit together and learn Torah? Are they going and do tzedakah? And gemilut chasadim? What are they going to do? He's going to take his brother to a nightclub, to a pub, to a gamble. He's not going to take his brother to all those bad places. And, you know, to live with somebody with a bad influence, it's just like, if you remember, let's go back in order to make it more clear. If we go back, when Rivka, Scott, Yaakov and Esav, during a pregnancy in a womb, we have a fight. Every time that Rivka is going near a Bes Midrash, Yaakov wants to go out. Every time she goes near a church, or we call it an idol worshiper place, Esav wants to go out. So, it's very interesting. But we understand it. Esav wants to be an idol worshiper, and Yaakov wants to be a Talmid Chacham. Once came a guy to the Rav Shach Zatzal, and he asked him a very interesting question. He says, I've got a son, and I want to send him to school. And in our area, we have two schools. One is at a very high level, and the other one is a new school. It's a low level, but very good families. Where should I send my son? To the school with a high level? Or to the school with the good families, but a low level? Interesting question. So what did the Rav Shach answer him? He says, I want to ask you a question. You know the story in the Torah about Yaakov and Esav that were fighting inside the womb of their mother. I want to ask you something very interesting. We all know the Midrash that says the baby in the womb of his mother, an angel comes and teaches him the whole Torah. When he comes out, he forgets it. Now, I understand that Esav wants to get out of the womb. He doesn't want to learn Torah. Definitely not. But why Yaakov wants to go out of the womb while an angel is teaching him Torah? Good question. Is there somebody better than an angel to teach you Torah? So why does he want to go out? He says, if your companion during learning is Esav, even if an angel teaches you, you go out. Because the bad influence of Esav, it's much worse than whatever you're going to learn from an angel. It's not going to work, because the bad influence of Esav is going to have an influence on you, and you're better off leave the place. In other words, you go to the school with a lower level, but good families. Level, you can make it higher. You can work on it. But it's better that your son is going to learn with good families than he's going to go to a high-level school, but not such good families as there. And that's a lesson for wife.
A friend of mine said to me, if you get married, you have to make sure that your partner has got midas and yirat shamayim. But cooking you can learn after you get married. A friend, she's got 11 children and the granddaughter, and she said, I only learned how to cook after I got married.
She's not the only one. When we got married, my wife, we had a picture of an oven. She didn't cook, so didn't need an oven. Baruch Hashem, today she cooks and everything is okay. She doesn't like cooking, but she's doing it. So, in other words, there are things that you can learn, but there are things that are so important, and that's who you live with. And if you are in a bad environment, you have to find a way to get out from there. And that's what Yaakov is telling us. Atzileini na miyadachi miyadesav. What is the first thing that he's asking to be saved of? Esav as a Rasha or Esav as a brother?
As a brother.
Esav as a brother. Because Esav as a brother, and that's why when we see that when Esav wants to go with him back to home, he says, no, it's okay, you go first. I've got children and a thing. I go slowly, I'll come to you. Does he go to him?
No.
Because he knows exactly what influence Esav HaRasha has got. And that's a big lesson in life. And also, when we deal with the enemy, you have to do things cleverly. He's not telling Esav, I'm not coming with you. He's not approaching Esav to do war. He does all the things in a very diplomatic way. And by the way, he also tells him, Im lavar garti v'taryag mitzvot shamarti. I lived with Lavan for many, many years, and I kept the mitzvahs. So from one side, what is he telling him? Says Rashi, two explanations. One explanation is, Yitzchak blessed Yaakov that he is going to be a gvir le'echav. Gvir is going to be a master on his brother. And whenever Yaakov is going to go down with the spiritual level, who is going to win? Esav. Now, what is he telling him to Esav? He says, Gvir lo itkayem bi. Gvir, I wasn't a gvir, I was a ger. Garti, I was a ger. I lived in the place with Lavan, but it was not a master. I had a master. I lived there as a ger. And it's very interesting. It says, Gvir lo itkayem bi. Now in Hebrew, Gimel bet yud resh. Gvir. Gvir means a master, a lord, a big shot. Now, what are the two letters in the middle? Bet and Yud, which is B. Says B, lo itkayem. B didn't happen. Now, if I take the Bet and the Yud out, what is left? Gimel and Resh, which is Ger. Yeah. So you see, in the letter itself, you see the meaning of it. But then, there's another explanation. It says, I lived with Lavan and Taryag mitzvot shamarti. I kept all the mitzvahs. Taryag is 613 mitzvahs. And when you say garti, you change the letters, it is taryag. So what is he really telling Esav? I lived with Lavan. And if you think for a minute that I didn't keep the mitzvahs and you can win the war here, no. I kept all the mitzvahs, though I was living with this evil Lavan for many, many years. Im Lavan garti, taryag mitzvot shamarti. In other words, on the surface, he's telling him, you know, I lived with Lavan, I was not a master. It looks very nice, but inside he's hinting him, don't think for a minute that you can fight me. Because I was with Lavan, and if you think that I lowered my spiritual level, you're mistaken. I kept my spiritual level. In other words, you're not going to win. Also, when he comes to him and he tells him, he's giving him the gift and he's asking him to take it, and Esav says, no, keep it, I don't need it. And Yaakov is convincing him to take it. And while he's convincing him, he's telling him something very interesting. Ki al ken ra'iti panecha, I want you to take, because I see you, your face, like to see the face of God. So, no, when you give a present to something in a very high level and he's not accepting the present, it's an insult for you. And it's an honor if you give a king a present and the king takes the present, it's an honor for you that the king got a present from you. But if the king gives you back the present,
that's a chutzpah.
It you feel very humiliated. What, he doesn't want my present? So that's what he's telling Esav. But what he's really telling him, I saw your angel on the way, and be aware that I won the fight with your angel. So in other words, what he's really telling him behind the surface is not that I saw your face like an angel. How do we know how our angel look? Because on the way, I met your angel. And you see that I'm here. In other words, your angel tried to fight with me. He didn't win. I won the war. So even here we see a way to approach an enemy is not confront him directly. It's do things cleverly. And this is only a small things that we see how Yaakov is behaving in order to find the best way to deal with Esav. And that's why our sages used to learn those parshiot if they have to deal with the goyim. to learn how to deal with them and how to do it in the right way. This is what Yaakov is telling us. And the amazing thing also is that this Yaakov that is fighting with an angel, and we see that he got hurt because he touched his hip. And he took something there. That's why you don't eat this part. So who really won the war? Did the angel won the war? Because he hurt Yaakov. Or Yaakov won the war. So the real truth is that when you have a discussion, an ideologic, spiritual discussion, or something or ideological discussion, and the other side comes and hits you, it means that he's got nothing to tell you. He lost. So he's trying to do it with a physical force, which means that he really lost the argument. He doesn't have anything to say. And this is the case of the angel. Why is the angel hurting physically Yaakov? Because he's got no answers. But even though he hurts Yaakov physically, he cannot move because Yaakov is holding him. So in other words, we learn that Yaakov's got the power, both the spiritual and the physical. Because the angel is asking, begging Yaakov to let him go because it's time and he has to go. And really what's happening is that the angel asking him to let him go, and then he lets him go after he gives him another name and blesses him, etc., etc. I want to finish this lesson with another interesting point, which is when we look at the Yaakov and Esav, we learn another thing, is how to be content. He is giving Esav the present, and Esav says, yeshli rav, I've got plenty. But, you know what, if you give me more, I've got no problem. What is Yaakov saying? I've got kol, yeshli kol, I've got everything. Really? Does he have everything? Does he have everything in this world? No. Nobody's got everything. But what he's really telling us is, Eizu Ashir Asameach Bechilko. What Esav is saying, the Rasha always wants more. He's never satisfied. What Yaakov is saying, whatever I've got, it's not plenty. It's not enough. It's everything. That's the point. It's not enough. It's not plenty. It's everything. Because if God gave me this, this is everything. And this is the way to look at life, to try, to look. When it's a spiritual thing, always try to get more. When it's materialistic things, whatever God is giving you, feel that that's everything you need. You don't need anything else. You know, I've been this week in a function. I have a friend, he's very rich, and he's got all those rich people like, and they all look like models, like it was like a Hollywood party. And the whole thing was an engagement. And you know, you look around and you see all those plastic faces, everything, every girl had there maybe 50 or 100 operations and whatever, all the else, and everybody looks like they come to a ball in Hollywood for the Oscar or whatever, and you listen to the conversation and it's so empty. It's all around money and materialistic things, and you think this is an engagement party, and you think to yourself, Ribbono Shel Olam, I've been there for 15 minutes and I went away. Because I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel, and this is exactly when we talk about bad influence. You know, some of the people haven't got so much money, but those look even better than the others. Why? They want to show off. They want to be a part to keep up with the Joneses. So never, not enough, they haven't got the money. They play the game that is costing them money that they haven't got. And this is even worse. Like, if you've got the money, you're also not satisfied because you want more and more. As we said, like Esav, I've got plenty, but you know what? Even if you have millions in the bank, you always want more because you love it. You want this. This is unfortunately, a desire we have inside us. But this desire, we have to take it to the other side, to the spiritual side. In other words, whatever we're talking about materialistic things, you have to be not only satisfied with what you've got, but happy with what you've got. And you're happy with what you have to understand. Whatever God gave me, I don't need anything else. And even when you come to be involved with an environment or a society or chevre that behave like I was exposed this week, and it's not the first time, yes? My wife doesn't even want to go to those places. But he's a very good friend of mine. He's a very good guy. But, you know, this is the world. So you have to control yourself not to get involved. When I was younger, I got involved in those things. Because, you know, it's a sparkling world and you also want to be a part of it. Baruch Hashem, today, it doesn't mean anything to me. It means, but nothing to compare to what it used to be. Today, I know that the more important thing, the important stuff is the spiritual stuff. It's not the outside, it's the inside, what you've got inside. And this is exactly the point. And sometimes you have to go to a function like this to understand and realize how far away from you it is, how empty it is, how sparkling with nothing in and is. When you listen to all the conversation, when you see all those show-offs and all those things, and even you know some of them that they haven't got it, you have some of them that have got it, but it doesn't matter. That's not important. What is important, what is inside. What is important is the spiritual world. And this is exactly what Yaakov is afraid of. And he says, "Atzileni na miyad achi, save me from my brother, save me from a bad environment, save me from those who run all the time on lust and desire for the physical stuff and for the materialistic stuff. I want to be a spiritual guy. I have to get away from this, not to get the influence. Like Esav, he said, I've got plenty, but you know, I wouldn't care to have it." Yaakov believes he's got everything. And if we get close to this level, we will feel much more satisfied in life. Not looking on our friends, they have got this and they've got that. Look at friends if they have a spiritual level, a high level, and all the time try to elevate yourself. But only in the spiritual side, not in the physical side. And Bezrat Hashem, we will be saved from the bad influence, as Yaakov is asking, and B, as Yaakov, we see how he dealt with everything in the best way, we also will manage to deal with it and elevate ourselves to a higher level. Shkoyach.